Welcome to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam of the Loyalty House International, a denomination originating from United Denomination of Lighthouse Group of Churches, UDOLGC. Called of God, he ministers under the anointing of his father, Bishop Dagwood Mills. Bishop Sam is the resident pastor of the Abbey Branch in Dawenia, off the Dawenia-Afienya Link Road. He oversees many churches both in Ghana and abroad. May the power of God be activated in your life today as you listen to Active Word.
Welcome to Active Word, where the word is alive.
Today is a special day. I told you today we are starting feeding 527.
And I said feeding 527, I said.
Feeding 527 is a special time in our calendar and church program. Where we encourage church members to develop the habit of reading. They develop the what?
Habit
the habit of reading. The epistles and the letters in the Bible were written to Christians, or if you the Old Testament to a Jews, New Testament to a Christian, to read.
Bible,
and then later they put them together to form the Bible. Reading is a very good thing. Now, with time, we are all going to die. How many of you know that in the next 80 years, only a few of us here will be alive?
80 years time,
if any, I'm here in this room. Only a few of us will be alive, if any. So after 80 years, how many of you want to see that this church is still moving on? Now, after 80 years, how many of you want to see that this church is ordaining homosexuals? The pastor preaching has married a man. Or the lady pastors have married the lady pastor. And they are walking around and they are shaking their hands. And they are saying that it's part of being accepting the human race. See, the churches that you see today who endorse all these things, they didn't start, they all started like us. But as time went on, they deviated. That is why it's good to develop a culture and traditions that will help people always to go back to the basics of the founders of the church. For Christianity, it is the Bible. There was a time they called the Dark Ages where the Bible was lost in the system. Only the priest had access to the Bible. And those days were terrible times. That's why they called it the Dark Ages. It took Martin Luther to come and then brought again the Reformation, where the Bible was now exposed again. And people had light. So reading is good. Now, as a church and as a family, this culture of 527 is because our founder, our prophet, our bishop has put together many of the preachings we preach into books. Which is a commentary of the Bible, verses that we have already preached, but it's in book form. So that you can also take your time and read the books yourself and understand it as time goes on. So periodically we take a book and then we read. And then we read also to teach you the habit of being a good Christian who can take a book and read. Some of even the Bible, you are not able to read. But at least when you see the Bible commentary and you are reading, it helps you. Amen.
Amen.
And so this is the book we are using for this period.
This book
that we are using for this period, we expect that every Christian here has one. And then we'll be reading it and we'll be teaching you and showing you how to read the books and understand it. So in the next few minutes, I would like you to get a copy of this book, which, you see, Christians also don't know how to use money well. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Go and can't make a customer mistake. So what you spend your money on, it means that your heart is there. For instance, many of you have spent money on credit for phones. Because you want to be able to call your beloved and receive calls and WhatsApp your friends. So that's where your heart is. Many choristers have put on scarf because their heart is in the dressing. You must be able to spend money in Christian literature so that it will make you beautiful. And now look at the title of the book. Why non-tithing Christians become poor? And how tithing Christians can become rich? Do you see the title is not a mistake. How tithing Christians can. You get it? Because you can be a tithing Christian and not be rich. So how tithing Christians can become rich? It's not a mistake. It's a title. I want you to turn to chapter 14. Everybody, okay. Now I'm going to show you how to read this book. This book is a very, very wonderful book. Now the title of the book is Why Non-Tithing Christians Become Poor. And how tithing Christians can become rich.
Now,
before we go on, I want you to ask to look at our star verse for this book in Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 following. Malachi 3, 8 following. I want us to establish a few things. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8, our star verses for today. It says, will a man rob God? Yet have you robbed me? You see, somebody was saying that there's a difference between a thief and a robber. Do you know that there's a difference between a thief and a robber? A thief will come to you when you are not there. Do you get it? But a robber will even rob you when your eyes are opened. Robbers will come to your room whilst you are there. They will open the door. And then they will rob you. Do you get it? But a thief, when you are not there, then he steals. Do you get it? So God is saying that, can people open their eyes and still rob God? So some of you, your eyes are open and you are robbing God. And he says, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? So they ask God, you are saying, where have we robbed you? And they say, in tithes and offerings. You see, one of the things I want to establish is that many people think that tithe is more important than offerings. But God, when God was talking, he spoke about tithe and offerings. See, tithe is different from offering in the sense that tithe is like your... Do you know what income tax is? And SNIT. You know, if it's an offense not to pay income tax and SNIT, and most of them are deducted as source. So when you get your salary, or when you go to work, and you are calculating your take-home pay, you don't add income tax and SNIT. Do you know that? Even though they will tell you that your whole salary, which is the gross, is $13,000 per month. And may you receive that. Amen. May you receive that in the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
Or 15,000 cedis a month.
15,000 cedis a month.
They will say that is gross. But when they do everything, they will say, but your net is. But they've removed, even though it belongs to you, but they've removed especially income tax.
Income tax.
And then the SNIT, the income tax never comes to you again.
And when man change you.
Do you get it? And then the SNIT.
And a snit,
no, even though they take it, when you retire, Ghana, we have two retirement ages. We have the voluntary retirement, which is 55, and compulsory retirement, which is 60. And then if the government want to give you a contract, He had some to eat like they do to some of the people. You get it? So when you retire, your SNIT, they put it somewhere and into an account and they will give it back to you with interest. Do you get it?
Yes.
So, so when you are calculating your take home pay, you don't add that one to it. Tithe is like that.
Amen.
It doesn't belong to you. So Bible says, if you don't give tithe, you are robbing God. So let's go to verse 9. I don't know why I'm talking about income tax and all those things. Verse 9. Listen, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. You see, who is talking here? It's God who is talking, it's not me. It's not me. And I've told you what curses can do. Look, to be under a curse is not a good thing. And there are things that bring curses on you. For instance, last week we said if you disrespect your father, your biological father, it brings a curse. You can drink all the oil in the world that pastors give to you. You can still be under a curse. So there are certain things that it brings a curse. And if you don't pay tithe, it brings a curse. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 28:45, Deuteronomy. When I start talking like that, I know somebody's about to receive a visa.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 45 to 46, said that, moreover, listen, when a curse is on you, it's not a good thing, you know. Say, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and pursue thee. My Bible says, goodness and mercy shall follow thee. Meanwhile, what is following you and pursuing you are curses. What a shock. And overtake thee till you are destroyed. Because you did not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. So a curse is not a good thing. A curse devours the land. So God is showing you how to come out of a curse. Now again, I want to establish something with you. Many people have confusions on their minds concerning tithing. For instance, how many of you have heard that tithing is under the law? Under the law. It's like, oh, now we don't pay tithing again because tithing is under the law. How many of you have heard it before? Okay. Now, those who have not heard, is either you don't either pay tithe or... But I want to establish to you from today to know that tithing is not was not practiced under the law. Or only under the law. An example is that Abraham paid tithe.
Abraham,
when Abraham was paying tithe, the Ten Commandments were not there. The law was not there. But Abraham paid tithe. So immediately you should, anybody who tell that tithing is under the law, let the person know that before the law, Abraham paid tithe. Someone may tell that, but Abraham paid tithe only once. You know, some things are mentioned only once. I mean, can you imagine if God is to record all the tithe Abraham paid? And yesterday too, he went and he paid tithe. He just recorded it only once for you to know that under the law. Because God knew that a day like this will come. When people will be quoting all manner of things. So it was recorded for you to know that Abraham paid tithe before the law. Within the law, tithe was made, if you like, was strengthened. And then now we are in the dispensation of grace. And then within the grace too, tithes are paid. After you are born again, you pay tithes. Why? Because Jesus said it. Matthew 23:23. Jesus said it. Within the tithe, so I'm establishing this, then we continue. So when you go anywhere and anybody says anything, you should be able to use the Bible. Now in Matthew 22:23, it said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, of anise, and of cumin." It means you pay tithe of Maggi cube. What are the spices you use? Maggi cube, momoni, and all one of things. You heard? Kako and all. You pay tithe of mint, of anise, of cumin. And listen, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Do you get it? Now, these ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. What does it just mean? Especially the last phrase, this ought you have done, and not to leave the other. What does it mean? It means all are important. So there was no way that Jesus said you shouldn't pay tithe. He rather was telling the Pharisees that you have elevated tithe above the weightier matters. And I will say the same thing, that your salvation is weightier than paying tithe. Your faith is weightier than paying tithe. Because you can be born again and not pay tithe and die and go to heaven. Yes. You can be born again and not pay tithe. Haven't you been here since we started church? You've not been paying your tithe. Are you not born again? You are born again. You know I'm talking about you. But you are changing from today in Jesus' name. So you can be born again and not pay tithe and go to heaven. Do you get it? So faith is more important. Faith in God is more important than, is weightier than tithe. Grace is weightier than tithe. So instead of Pharisees making the people to know that salvation comes by grace, by faith in Christ and all those things, and mercy is what we need as Christians, they were instead making them do the law. That is what Jesus was against. For instance, if a church, we're always talking about money. We're always talking about money. We're talking about tithe. We don't talk about salvation. We don't talk about mercy. We don't talk about other things. We'll be making a mistake. So that's what Jesus was saying. So we should talk about these weightier things. But we shouldn't also leave talking about tithe. Do you get it? So before the law, with the age dispensation of innocence, under the law, with the dispensation of the law, and in the New Testament, with the dispensation of grace, tithe is mentioned. Amen. So are you clear in your mind? You are clear. Do you have any question? If you have any question, you can ask today. You are free to ask. Wonderful. So now, let's open our books to chapter 14 of this wonderful book. Chapter 14, which is page 102. Page 102 of the book, which says, how tithes fulfill the law of wealth creation. How tithes fulfill the law of wealth creation. And honestly, I want to see that my church is wealthy. I want to see that the members in this church are blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to see that we have a very big problem in our hands about even where to park cars. And your car is going to be one of it in Jesus' name. You shout amen when you have to do what you have to do. Now, wealth creation is not straightforward as it may seem. How many of you have said it's not easy to be rich? Look, I have been young and I'm old and I'm still growing. I have seen that it's not easy to be rich at all. It's not easy, but it's going to be easy for you in the name of Jesus. There are many studies that look into how rich countries became rich and why poor countries stay poor. Many studies. Why rich countries have become rich and poor countries have become poor. For Ghana and Africa, it's very easy to know, isn't it? Very, very easy to know. What is it?
Leadership.
Bad leadership. Bad leadership. Wonderful. That one you know. Paragraph 2. All these different studies have revealed certain patterns in the lives of wealthy people. So see, when you do studies, you learn why people are becoming rich, why people are becoming poor. Paragraph 3. Wealth is mysterious. Wealth is mysterious. And that's why your wealth is going to come as a miracle in Jesus' name. Wealth is mysterious. Generating wealth is even more mysterious. You can't understand why a country like Ghana is not wealthy. One of the seven mysteries of the world. We have gold, we have oil, we have silver, we have
diamond,
we have manganese, we have
cocoa,
we have bauxite, we have brains, we have all those things. And mysteriously we are poor. Mysteriously we are poor. Is it not a mystery? Really brains and strength. Why are we poor? Our land is good. It's a mystery. But that is for another study one day. Do you get it? One of the mystical contributions to world creation is actually the giving away of wealth. One of the mystical observations of world creation is the giving away of wealth. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11, 24. You see, it's a mystery. World creation is a mystery. And one of it is to give away wealth. Do you get it? Now in Proverbs chapter 11, 24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. You scatter. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but tended to poverty. That's a mystery of wealth. The next verse. He said, The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself.
You see,
so the mystery that when you give out, and tithe is one of the ways of giving out wealth, and you rather become rich. Because the wealth is not how much comes to you. It's how much stays with you. So you can get a lot of money, but it doesn't stay with you. Because if you go to our star verse, one of the things God said about tithe is that he rebukes the devourer. He rebukes the devourer. So your salary can be $10,000 at the end of the month. But within a week, you can lose
$6,000.
But the devourer will come. $6,000 can be lost in the sense that your child can say, you'll be there, and then some tree fell on your car. You'll be there now. They will say that your phone that you bought just drops and it's spot.
And I said,
you have to buy another phone. Everybody went to do her hair. You alone, you went under the dryer. No, they said something went wrong and all your hair is bent. And you have to use money. So by the time you realize within a week, all your money is gone. So you got the money. But it's gone. So son, that's not how much you get. Your ability to retain what you get. That also is a blessing. And that is why they say the devourer. How many of you have seen rich people before who are not rich today? A devourer was released. Some of you men, a devourer is a young woman in your life. A young, fair, and dark lady in your life. As soon as you get the money, before you take your school fees, the devourer shall appear. And you have to sign a check. and you don't understand why you don't have money. So it is more blessed to give. Bible says it is more blessed to give. So it's a mystery of wealth creation. That give. And sometimes God has a very funny way of blessing us. God knows us human beings, our minds can work in a certain way. So he has made it certain laws that you have to obey to be blessed. That includes tithe. And has given certain pastors like me who would always talk to you that pay your tithe so that you'll be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Now in this chapter,
we
want to share why wealth is created by people who give tithe and give away money. So point number one. Are you there? Point number one. Tithing Christians fulfill the law of humility, which creates wealth. And the verse here is Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. Jim, are you here with me? Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. It says that, for promotion cometh not, promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west, nor from the south. 7. But God is the judge. He put down one and set up another. Now, what this verse is letting us know is that it takes a certain humility to know that my wealth came from God. Many arrogant and rich people have no time for priests or pastors. They see them as hyenas and vultures scavenging for their scraps of the successful and wealthy. When wealthy people have to pay tithe for the upkeep of these irrelevant members of society, it will help them to stay humble. Which means that wealthy people feel that pastors are after their money. So as soon as they are supposed to pay tithe, they tell themselves, look, I can't go and give my money to these irrelevant people. Pastor David, you are a pastor. You are a full-time pastor.
Pastor David say,
do you look like an irrelevant person?
When people
are supposed to pay their tithe, I say they are going to pay their tithe to pay this, to give to this irrelevant man. And this man is coming for our money. Bishop Mousy, are you irrelevant? Bishop Mousy is also a full-time pastor.
Bishop Mousy is also a full-time pastor.
Do you get it? So it means that your tithe go to him. Do you get it? But this irrelevant man standing here,
now where are you sending him here?
If he was to do your work that you do, he'll probably be your boss. But he has decided to serve the Lord.
Well,
he also went to school to become a mechanical engineer.
Is that so, a mechanical engineer?
Yes. So the man is holding a Bible and talking about doesn't make him irrelevant.
So cross Bible or Bible once and chase on you be an here.
It doesn't make him irrelevant at all.
I don't chase anyone here.
But you see, as soon as you start talking about that, so these lazy people, they want us to work and they will chop our money. So that thing should leave your mind.
Yes, I didn't name you Adrian.
Any businessman who stays humble will generate wealth for himself. Paying tithe forces you to humbly submit to the priest and to the pastor of the day for your own good.
So
humble people, they don't say that we have worked, it's our money, we can't give it to this irrelevant lazy people. Well, if you have a problem with another person, that's your business. But here we are talking about here.
So
number two. Tithing Christians fulfill the law of sowing and reaping, which creates wealth. The law of what? Sowing and reaping, which creates wealth.
Let's read
Psalm 126, verse 5. Psalm 126, they say, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. It's a law. If you sow, and how many of you know that there is no sowing that is easy? Most sowings, unfortunately, the easier sowings are the bad ones. Let's say you have a girlfriend somewhere,
and I say, when your girlfriend,
and you got some money,
when you
and you are going to buy shoes for her, you realize that it's easy, you are happy, but there's something you are going to steal afterwards. You get it? So that one, it may not be true of, but you are sowing to something you cannot see. How many of you have sown and you realize this money I'm sowing, it pains me, but not that it pains, but it is going me. But you see, you sow with tears, and the reaping is going to come. And all those who have been sowing, the other day I was trying to calculate how much we have sown to build this place. And at a point, I realized that if it was some government, they would have gone to IMF or the World Bank. And all has come from you people sitting here. So I know that the joy of reaping is coming your way in the name of Jesus. Hey, how can you sow into something like this and remain poor? Jobs are opening for you. Some of you are looking for jobs that have been so difficult for you to get a job. It is difficult because that is not the job God has for you. The real job is coming your way in the name of Jesus. And that one day will come after you and pay you big monies in Jesus' name. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. You see, the law of sowing and reaping. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. It's a principle. Even though this verse was talking about forgiveness, this particular verse is talking about forgiveness. That if you forgive, you'll be forgiven. If you are merciful, you'll find mercy. But it's talking about the principle of sowing and reaping. That when you give, God gives you hundredfold. Amen. Are you being blessed?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Principle number 3. Why? Tithing Christians fulfill the law of prioritization, which creates wealth. The law of what? The law of prioritization, which creates wealth. You see, many of you say God first. How many of you have heard God first before? Good. Many trotters have God first written. When the trotter is new, they write something else. But when the trotter starts breaking down, they write God first. So, God first. Prioritizing Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, it says that, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Now, when you give to God, when you pay your tithe, you are making God first. Do you get it? You are making God first. Because there is no prosperous person who does not fulfill the law of prioritization. When you are young, you need to prioritize education and put that thing first. So in every stage of your life, you know what to prioritize. In wealth creation as well, you have to prioritize how to give to God first. And it's so easy for people to give to others, but not God. Many people can easily give to political parties or DCEs, especially funerals. But when it comes to God, they don't want to give. You have not prioritized your life enough. And then number 4. Tithing Christians fulfill the law of emulation, which creates wealth. You see, law of emulation is the law of following. law of following.
Amen.
How many of you want to be rich? Do you know that many of you have been happier if you came to church this morning and I started prophesying that you are going to be rich? You'll be jumping and screaming and doing all manner of things. But as I'm reading to you what makes you rich, haven't you seen you feel like yawning? Because to create wealth is not easy. Yeah. You feel like yawning. You feel like sleeping. You feel like that's why up to today you are so poor. Amen.
Amen.
But this is what you need to create wealth. Amen. To take the thing and sit down and read. And practice it. So the law of emulation. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12. Hebrews 6 12. Hey! And when you go home, go and read it. You know that I've come to chapter 14. There are a whole lot of chapters I've jumped. I need you to go and read that one yourself. Hebrews 6 12 says that you are not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Emulation is the art of copying something others are doing. Emulation is the art of copying something others are doing. You see, somebody has done something and it looks nice. You also copy. You know, if you look at Africa, let's say you move from Togo border to Aflao.
Togo border now called Aflao.
No, yes, Aflao to Togo, Togo to Benin, Benin to Nigeria. If you look at the borders and the countries that follow, you can see indeed that we are copying ourselves. We are copying ourselves, pa. They're all the same. Bad roads. People are civil servants who are sleeping at the job, on the job. As if there's nothing going on. We have nothing to. We are copying ourselves indeed. Abrahamovich, the economist, spoke of surging forward and catching up with those ahead. This is emulation and is what rich nations did to become wealthy. Many years ago, Great Britain told America that you produce food for us and then you become like the food basket of the world and we will also industrialize and give you cars and things.
America
sat down and realized that no, we cannot always be farming and giving these people food to eat. We too, we are going to industrialize. So they took it upon themselves to build cars and do other things. But they looked at their colonial masters and wanted to be like them. But we, ever since they told us that we should produce, you know, one of the amazing things is when I hear politicians saying that we are first in agriculture and we produce cocoa, we produce this, I get very angry. When are we going to turn that cocoa to chocolate? When are we going to turn those things to finished product that we too, we can determine how much you sell it, you buy? You have cocoa. They say they'll buy it for, let's say, $2. You say you sell it for $5. Then they say they won't buy. After 2 weeks, what is going to happen? Your cocoa is going to get spoiled. He has iPad.
Oh, no iPad.
He says he's selling the iPad for, the new one is called the iPad 11. Eh? Yes, iPhone 11. How much is that one? In excess of £900. You say you won't buy, it will still be there. It will not get spoiled. Do you get it? So we have to copy those who have done well. Even as a church. Even as a church, if a church is wise, we can copy for Roman Catholics. We can copy from Methodists. We can copy from those who are coming now. There are people ahead of us. We can copy from Pentecost. We can copy. There may be some things you don't like, but there are a lot of things too that are good. You can copy. Amen.
Amen.
That's the law of wealth creation. Korea is a superpower today because they copied. Those of you who are young, when Korean things started coming to Ghana, we didn't want to buy it. We used to laugh and say, made in Korea. Today, go to America. Go to every developed country. They are using Korean-made cars. Yeah. When we were supposed to make cars, we decided to be original. So when you make some car be called Buafo, some car Buafo, have you seen Buafo before? And I don't know which who they were emulating. We wanted to be original. After many years, no one bought it. But Korea, they took Opel. Opel, and they brought the Opel people to come to their country. They said, look, use Opel technology and build a car for us. Just change the body small and call it Dewu. And that's how Dewu is Opel. They are just copied. Following. Sanyon is Benz. Musu, Sanyon is Benz. They copied the Benz people, and today they are superpower. I cannot ask that today. I don't understand why no president or no government has gone to a car manufacturing factory and said, look, we are giving you the whole of this land free of charge. Come and build a car and call it Osei, or call it Afajato, or call it Fosu. Or call it so, but you build it, take any, build it for us. You just build it, take Land Cruiser, build a big car and call it Osei. We are going to look tax free, everything free, build it for us. I don't understand, but you know why? Everybody wants money from somebody, that's why they've not done that, because they will look at what they can get from it.
Yeah.
After today, I don't know why Kantanka. It's not forced on us to buy. All you know is that somebody will say that maybe he belongs to another political party, he will get money. And this and that. Because you know why Kantanka is expensive? It's expensive because there's no support for him. That's why it's expensive. But the more we buy, the more you have money to do more of it, it becomes less expensive. So those who say Kantanka is expensive, this guy, it's because of that. Yeah, maybe one of us will become a president one day, and then the person will do it. Everybody say amen. Amen. So we too, if you read some of the previous verses, it's talking about the wealth of the Jews. Everywhere in the world, see, Jews are just about a percentage of the world population. And yet they control most of the wealth of the world because of the law that they follow. Can we not follow the Jews in the area of the commandments? Yes. Their secret is paying of tithe. They take their Bible, the Judaic Bible, very seriously. Are you here with me? Are you sure you're becoming rich? I'm sure what you need is what I'm preaching.
Yes.
Hey, somebody bring me oil right now in the name of Jesus. You need this one, eh? Okay. Let me give you, it's about whatever. Oh, we are just about to finish this chapter. Oh, okay. So the law of what? Emulation.
Emulation.
Yes. 13 Christians understand the law of seasons, and this creates wealth. The earth has been created to operate in seasons. And within the seasons, there's a time to sow and a time to reap.
Look,
there are seasons. If the Bible talks about a good Christian, say he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit is what? In season. It's season. So there are seasons. A farmer who goes out to sow, he sits in winter is wasting his time. But we don't know winter, isn't it? So if you go and sow in Harmattan season, you are wasting your time. A woman who has sex when she is not in a season of conception is throwing animals away. Nothing will happen. It's seasons. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Joseph warned Pharaoh of a coming season which would wipe out the prosperity of the day.
Joseph, I catch a Pharaoh say, "Emrebi eba, yen yeskebium."
So there are seasons, isn't it?
Emre ewoho.
All enduring wealth is created by men who took advantage of seasons of sowing when it came.
Omu omu yeske nina ano. Omu hu say emre aso say ebi ebi bi. That was amre imu.
You see, and we have a cycle of every month. 10th is a cycle of a monthly season that you sow. You have to take advantage of it. The season of giving alms. The season of giving your offering.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 in the today's Living Bible. There is a right time for everything. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to harvest. Number 6. Tithing Christians understand the law of a willing attitude which creates wealth.
Christopher so mutu into so do no omoti ase se emre bi wo ho e che se unya ntimi nja wo emfa nye bibi.
A willing what?
Attitude.
Attitude which creates wealth. Isaiah 1:19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
So we are sutia.
If you are willing, a willing what? A willing what? A willing attitude. What? Attitude. Or attitude. I see you saying attitude to somebody across the ocean. Amen. In the name of Jesus. You see, you have suddenly become alive. Okay. So you have to have a willing mind and a willing heart. The attitude of a person determines his altitude. Hallelujah. If you have a good attitude, you're a willing man. As I'm talking about tithing, you see, you must be of a willing mind to pay and to give. Number 7. Tithing Christians understand the law of obedience which creates wealth. The law of obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, this scripture is very important. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Do you get it? Now, what is happening was that Saul was asked by God to go and do something. And what did God ask him to do? He said to go and kill some people. Destroy all of them. Shouldn't leave anything. Now when he went, he did kill the people. But he took the fat of the land. The good things of the land. The sheep, the ram, all those he brought them. Then when Samuel confronted Saul, Saul said, I did everything God asked me to do. Then there were some bleating of sheep and goat. So Samuel asked, what is it that I'm hearing? He said, oh, I brought these things to sacrifice to God. Because I know that God likes sacrifice of sheep and goat. And then God told Saul that it is better to obey, to destroy everything, than to come and sacrifice. Now, this applies to many Christians. Many Christians, instead of obeying the law or paying their tithe, they would rather prefer to bring fat offerings to the church.
Let's
say if you are doing a fundraising.
Fundraising.
And so somebody should give 100,000.
So be member 100,000.
Many then they will stand up and give the
100,000.
But giving of the tithe, which is let's say 10,000 monthly. That no one sees if you like. They will not give. Because they will prefer the show.
The show.
People seeing that they are giving big monies than obeying the law that God has said that every man pay your 5,000. That is where, you see, so Saul wanted to do a show. He would have made a bonfire with all the sheep and go and make a big sacrifice. They say, we are sacrificing to God. And God said, no, I don't as much delight in sacrifices than in your obedience. You get me. So for most of you, now tell your friend, Bishop is coming your way now. Tell your friend, Bishop is coming your way now. Ask your friend, are you really ready to be wealthy? Are you sure? Then get ready to be wealthy. Tell the person, sit down well. And get ready to be wealthy. Are you ready for what I'm coming your way? You see, some of you, you must obey your tithe. Your tithe can be just 10 cedis a month. You get it? It's a blessing, and more important, to bring your 10 cedis every month as your tithe, than to wait. And let's say when you do fundraising, you come and give 100 cedis.
Since you have fundraising, I remember 100 Ghana cedis.
The 100 cedis will give you a reward. But do you know what is going to happen to you? The devourer will quickly come for it. So the 100 cedis will still give you a reward. That law will still be fulfilled. But there will be another law waiting to devour that blessing. So to obey means that if at the end of the month your income is 10 cedis and it's only one cedi you can bring, you have to give your tithe of one cedi. Do you get it? Don't be so much show-minded. So that if you want to give, how many can give 10 cedis, then you come. But be obedient-minded. At the end of the month, my income is this, or maybe you are not working, but you receive some kind of money. For instance, your husband gives you money for chop money. And your husband gives you, let's say, 2,000 for chop money every month.
2,000,
yeah,
2,000.
Yeah, you say the woman are crying. Hey, why? Hey, may your husband give you 5,000 for chop money every month. That means that you save some of the husband's money, and then you pay tithe of the chop money. This one, you will see how God will bless you. There is no food you cook that your husband will not like it. Even if there's no fish in the soup. When your husband finishes eating, he will say, hey, Mause. And then you are near for him. Hey, the papa. Because you have made God first.
Yes.
My small boy who goes to school, he pays tithe. When I give him money, then he will put his tithes there. He will be blessed. Recently, I borrowed money from him. I mean, I needed money and he had money at home. Some of his money was keeping there. And I borrowed it. I've paid and paid and paid and paid and paid and paid. I don't even know when I'll finish paying that money. He's getting more interest in that money. Do you get it? So a tithe, it's very important. And that is what, and it creates wealth. I am telling you, Christian brother,
look,
it's not easy to be wealthy. It's not easy to be rich. One day, you remember the devil went to God about Job. And the devil gave us a very good revelation about things that happened in the realm of the spirit. The devil told God that, because you have blessed Job, I cannot attack him. So you see, every wealth has a spiritual source.
Most wealth
have spiritual sources. So, brother, it is your interest to pay your tithe. In this church, many people pay tithe, or few people pay tithe. And those who pay tithe, I know how their lives are always becoming better and better and better. Yeah. So pay your tithe, and God will bless you. Wealth is a mystery. Wealth is a mystery. Our pastor here was giving me a testimony yesterday. Pastor Samuel, can you come up? He was giving me a testimony yesterday. Pastor Samuel is our pastor in Zebila. He was with us in Cornerstone Cathedral. God born again in Cornerstone Cathedral.
96.
Yesterday, he decided to go and visit his friends and brothers. When he went, he was shocked. You get it? When he compares how God has blessed him. In fact, he said many people of your age, they look like your grandfathers. Is that not so?
They look like my grandfathers.
Look. Very, very old.
Deformed.
Very, very old and deformed. And then many of them are dead. They took to alcohol. And they've drunk their lives away. But he gave his life to Christ. He decided to believe in the law of humility, the law of sowing and reaping, the law of the seasons. There was a season in his life. He was the security of the church in Cornerstone. There was a season in his life. He was the security of the church in Cornerstone. It was a season. But he humbly did it. He didn't say that, oh, why that and why that? He humbly did it. You get it? Today, as he went back to see his friends, they are dead. And as I'm talking now, tomorrow he's on his way to fly out to Korea. He's flying out to
Korea.
Yeah. And then also, his firstborn has gained admission to a medical school. Yeah, medical school. His firstborn is to medical school.
Any admission here for medical school.
That's the mystery of wealth. You know how God blesses. And that's what I'm saying. I see, we are here. You have gone to school, you have finished PhD.
Why a PhD?
Even your children, you don't know where they are. You don't know where they are. But they tend to be something else. You yourself, you don't even know where your life is going to. So that's why you get to know that it is not even by education. Which an education is good. That's why he's educating his child. What he couldn't do, he's giving it to his child. And that is it, you'll be flying. Going, flying. And you too, if you're obedient, you'll be doing what?
We are suit here. Plane, Musa.
But it starts with obedience.
Please,
thank you. It starts with obedience. Yeah. This brother standing here, he holds his master's in something. But he also went through the seasons.
I was also a security.
As he was reminding me that he was a security.
I was also a security.
I remember that he himself has also been like that before.
Yes, I was also a security.
And taking off his bookshop and everything.
Yes.
Today he has gone to university, has done his master's, he's married, he has children, and he's a big man. Seasons. And humility. And you mark him.
I receive it.
Mark him. Including all of us. Seasons. Do you get it? So I'm telling you that look, we have been young and we are old. We have seen people traveling to people to drink oil, and we have seen people who have patiently, faithfully been in church, been doing their ministry work, giving their tithe, 10 cedis, 20 cedis, 1,000 cedis, 2,000 cities, and they are being blessed. Do you get it? So I want you also be part of it. Obey is better than sacrifice. These days, I'm determined not to pray for anybody who is cursed. Balaam asked, how can I bless a people who are cursed? And how can I curse a people who are blessed? How do I am a human being? Can I bless? It's God who blesses. If God has cursed you, can I bless you? And one of the ways God curses you is if you don't pay your tithe. So I can come to church and say, I see you and you were blind eyes and now your eyes are opened. I see you and this and nothing ain't going to happen because God ain't going to bless you. Do you get it? The blessing should first be there. Then when I say that jobs are coming your way, blessings are coming your way, then angels will take my word and enforce it in your life. So from today, every one of you must pay your tithe. It's as simple as that. Young brother, you see, it takes you from A to go to B. Today, your tithe can be one CD. That one city must be fulfilled before you can get to a point of paying a tithe of 1,000 cities. But if you don't start with one, how can you go to 10? Are you understand what I'm saying? So how many of you from today are going to pay your tithe? This preaching is a practical preaching. When I finish it, you don't do it. It means you will never do it. I said, Matt, do you get it? Won't pass him out. Yeah, won't pass him out. If you don't do this, you will never do it. You get it? So every one of you, this from beginning this month, this is where the weightier matters come in. Mercy. Mercy means that in the olden time, if you don't pay your tithe, then they catch you. They will ask you that all the tithe you owe, come and pay with interest. 7 times. But in the dispensation of grace, then God will say, okay, I'm being merciful to you for all the amounts you have not paid. But start now. How many of you enjoy this mercy? Good. But how many of you know that if you keep hearing mercy, and you keep doing it? The Bible says, my spirit will not strive with man forever. And Paul says that, shall we sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. So should we continue not to pay our tithes? Do you get it? So I need some envelopes for people to pay their tithes. Then we close. Today, I am more than this thing. Now, if you are in church, you have not paid your tithe before. You may not even be in this church. You may be in another church, but you don't pay tithe. You have to pay tithe. Tithe works in every good church. You have to pay tithe. Are you understand what I'm saying? So I want, look, this month, what is this month? The month is going on. This month, October. I want everybody to pay your tithe. Tithe is a tenth of your income. But if in the Old Testament you're paying a tenth, I would tell you that you can pay more. But don't run it up. Don't run it down. Do you get it? Run it up. Don't run it down. But I need you to pay your tithe every month. But this month, if you don't, you have not come for your first and best envelope for this month. I need pastors to help you enjoy. I need everybody to pay your tithe this month. So if you don't already have your tithe envelope for this month, we want to practicalize this word. Come for this envelope. This month is 100% tithe paying month. You can take one roll. Take a roll. Yes. Everybody, if you don't have first and best envelope for this month, come. You may even be a visitor today, but come. Apart from our friends, come. And I told you, your tithe can be just one CD or 10 CDs, 100 CDs. That is your tithe. That's, if God wants you to pay more, God should give you a good job. It's as simple as that. If God wants you to pay more, He should give you a good job. And if you give and God knows that you are faithful, He will give you a good job. So that your salary today will be your tithe.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Now, this is not a one-time tithe. It should be every month. If your tithe is 2 CDs, you get it. You are a student and you're always buying credit. You can pay tithe. God bless you. Every one of you, what you are doing is that you are gunning for prosperity. You are changing your life. You too, one day, become an example.
Amen.
And a testimony.
Amen.
Only because you are giving your tithe. Only because you are giving your tithe. God bless you. Do you have some of the books? You have the book. When you go read it, one of the days, what you read and you don't understand, I'll give you time for questions. So that before I preach, you ask questions. Amen.
Amen.
So please, I want to encourage you, all of you, pay your tithe this month. Wonderful. Okay. So we want to take a song from our sister, and then we'll take our first and best and our tithe. Just one song to make you relax.
Hallelujah. Offerings and the tithe, it is the Lord. It does not belong to you, it is the Lord. You must pay your tithe, you must believe it is the Lord. Well, when you pay your tithe and offerings in the church, so that there is meat in the house of God, you can pay your tithe and prove me now, says the Lord. When my house is filled, I'll bless you when you will be blessed. So give all your offerings, pay all your tithe, oh give it, please give it. You will receive a harvest of many blessings, so give it, please give it. I will open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing so much you cannot receive. So give all your offerings, pay all your tithe, oh give it. Honor the Lord your God with your substance, honor the Lord your God with your first fruit. So shall the barns be filled with increase from the Lord. Your bank account will burst with the blessings of the Lord. Whosoever soweth a seed sparingly, he shall also reap a harvest sparingly. He that soweth bountifully reaps bountifully. The Lord, he loves a cheerful giver. Yes, he really does. Give all your offerings, pay all your tithe, oh give it, please give it. You will receive a harvest of many blessings, oh give it, please give it. I will open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing so much you cannot receive. So give all your offerings, pay all your tithe, oh give it. Give all your offerings, pay all your tithe. Come on and give it, please give it. You will receive a harvest of many blessings. Come on and give it. Please give it. Give all your offerings. Pay all your tithe. Oh, give it. Please give it. You will receive a harvest of many blessings. Come on and give it. Give it. Give it. Give all your offerings. Pay all your tithe, come on and give it. Why won't you give it? Oh, you will receive a harvest of many blessings, so give it, please give it. Give all your offerings, pay all your tithe, oh, give it.
Hold our hands together for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. If today is your first time, very first time of coming here, can you give me a wave?
Oh, sorry.
This is your first. Somebody invited you and you came. Can you give me a wave? Oh, can I have the books here? I want to give you a special present. Give me a wave. Oh, wonderful. Now, you see these ladies, they have some special books. Come to me and come and collect one of these books. This is your first time of coming. Put your hands together for them as they come. This is your first time of coming. Put your hands together for them as they come. As soon as they come, give them the books, please. Put your hands together for them as they come. This is your first time of coming here. Very first time. Somebody invited you and you came. If you invited somebody, you can't find a person, you go and look for the person. But somebody invited you and you came. Just come. Just come. And collect a very powerful present. Don't write anything yet. Just come and collect a very powerful present. Put your hands together for them as they come. God bless all of you. God bless you. Now, those of you here, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And then they will take you to a very good place. They will have a chat with you. God bless you. Now, let us share a prayer. I'm praying a prayer with you. After that, they will talk with you. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
I said, Dear Lord Jesus.
I thank you that you brought me here.
I thank you that you brought me here.
It's not by chance.
It's not by chance.
That I am here.
That I am here.
Don't move. It's not by chance that I'm here.
It's not by chance that I am here.
And I thank you.
I thank you
for this opportunity.
For this opportunity.
Right now.
Right now.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus.
That Jesus.
Is Lord.
Is Lord.
By this prayer.
By this prayer.
I accept. That my sins are forgiven.
That my sins are forgiven.
And Lord Jesus.
And Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That from today.
I am yours.
I am yours. And you are mine.
And you are mine.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you for listening to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam. For copies of today's message or any other message by Bishop Sam, please contact us on 0277-533-108 or visit us at Loyalty House International, Abay, Dawenia. You can also send Bishop Sam an email at pastorishmael@yahoo.com. For prayer and counseling, you can contact us on 0277-533-108. You can also worship with us every Sunday in our powerful gathering service at 10 a.m. at the Loyalty House International, Abay, Dawenia. God bless you. Active Word, where the word is alive.